Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning on a fifth Sunday with the snow, and I know it's kind of cloudy outside, but it's good to see everyone this morning. As Jessica mentioned during the intercessory prayer, today's theme is trusting in God's providence. And so before we dive into the word, let me open up with a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you so much for this morning that you've given us to allow us all to come together just to worship you and as a community together, O Lord. I thank you for this time to spend time in your word and to hear your message. I pray we come with open hearts and minds to hear your word. I pray use me as a vessel, Lord, where I lack, just to speak your truth and to ultimately bring glory to you. In your name I pray, amen. So if you could please turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, beginning from verse 1. After these things and these acts of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and invaded Judah and encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them for himself. And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and intended to bring those that were outside the city, and they helped him, a great many were gathered, and they stopped all the springs and the brook that flowed through the land, saying, "Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?" He set to work resolutely and built up all the wall that was broken down and raised towers upon it. And outside it, he built another wall, and he strengthened the millo in the city of David. He also made weapons and shields in abundance, and he set combat commanders over the people and gathered them together to him in the square at the gate of the city, and spoke encouragingly to them, saying, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed before the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people took confidence from the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. So Hezekiah is known to be one of the few kings of Judah who followed God and his commands faithfully. The Bible describes Hezekiah as a king who had a close relationship with God, one who did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord. 2 Kings 18:5 through 7 describes King Hezekiah as follows. He trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept the commandments that the Lord had commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him. Wherever he went out, he prospered. So even though Hezekiah followed all God's commands and was faithful, he still experienced trials, as we see in the beginning of the chapter we just read. Sennacherib, who was the king of Assyria, threatened to invade and wage war against Jerusalem, and spoke loudly and boldly against God as their Lord. Sometimes it's easy for us to think that if we've been faithful and we pray often and we even come to church regularly, that we are immune from attack and trials in our lives. But as we see in Hezekiah's case and many other examples in the Bible, we aren't immune to that type of struggles or trials in our life. In the passage that we read, we see that the armies worked hard and planned and prepared for the attack, and they got their weapons and their shields ready. But Hezekiah also reminds them in saying that they should not be afraid because they have a greater power, God, who is with them to help them fight their battles. A lot of times we put our own trust in our planning and preparation, and we think we have everything under our control, but that's not what God's plans are for us. When we read further down into the chapter, we see that Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah crying out in prayer to God. Starting from verse 20, it reads, "Then Hezekiah the king and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, prayed because of this and cried to heaven. And the Lord sent an angel who cut off all the mighty warriors and commanders and officers in the camp of the king of Assyria." And if we jump to verse 22, "So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all his enemies. He provided for them on every side." So here we see God only needed one angel not an entire army of angels, to knock down the entire Assyrian army. Exodus 14, 13 to 14 says, "Fear not and stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be still." So knowing that the Lord will fight our battles and we only need to be still, what does that really look like for us? It means we need to understand what God's providence is and what that means to trust in his providence. We need to pray, and then we need to seek him first. Now, the word providence is actually not used in the Bible. It's very similar to other words like the word Bible or the word Trinity, which aren't used directly in the Bible. But words like these are very much God-inspired, and they point to what truly is important, what the reality is. So what is God's providence? It is his sovereign control and guidance of all things in such a way that his will is accomplished and our needs are supplied. So in other words, his providence is how God orchestrates everything to accomplish his purpose for our good, but ultimately all for his glory. So we trust in his sovereign control, his plans, and his ability to provide a way. Embracing God's providence allows us to grow in our patience and faith, especially for seasons of unexpected trials or even seasons of just waiting in our lives. It is easy for us to think that these periods of hardship are meaningless or outside of what God has planned. It can allow us to think that he is being silent or that we've been forgotten. But trials and hardship all do fall under God's providence and his plans. His allowance for things to happen are planned and purposeful, and they are also wise. We have to remember that we aren't as righteous or as wise as God. But like what Psalms 97:2 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And Deuteronomy 32:4 says, all his ways are just. There can be times where we may not truly understand God's righteousness or justice, as it may seem unjust or not fair to us. And we may never truly understand his ways during our time on earth. My dad was diagnosed with a brain tumor a little over 10 years ago, and looking at the past decade with several surgeries, treatments, ups and downs, and many unknowns, God has provided and been faithful. It's not to say that there weren't times of doubting God's goodness, feeling that the situation was unfair, and wondering why my family has had to go through several rough seasons. But that's where we've had to remember that not only is he a righteous and just God and King, but he's our Heavenly Father. God's hand is in the smallest of natural details, as we can see outside. As much as he takes care of the things he's created in the world, such as the trees and the grass, we are far more precious to him as his children. That true fatherly care is to take care of us because he wants what's best for us. And ultimately, through his providence, he is working in our hearts something far more eternal. Although there are still some prayers I am waiting to be answered for my dad and for my family, I've seen the work God has done in my parents' hearts and how they've used their seasons of hardship to share with and bless others who may be struggling as well. And I truly believe that God can do big things in a community who can be open in sharing all that they are going through, because again, it falls within his providence. So how else do we be still? Being still doesn't mean we just sit back and do nothing and let God do everything. One way is prayer. In Philippians 4, chapter 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." God has decreed to make the prayers of his people the cause of his triumph and victory in many, many battles. In scripture, we see God responding to prayer multiple times. Moses prayed for food and water for the Israelites, and God provided. Hannah prayed for a child, and God provided. And Elijah prayed for drought and the rain, and God provided. God already determined that these things would happen, but he also determined that Moses and Hannah and Elijah would pray for those events, for those things to only happen if the prayers were done. In that way, God could provide an answer. He ordained those things to happen by prayer. And in other words, he has given us the privilege of including us in his work. If we think and understand that God's providence means we pray less and our prayers mean nothing, then we need to rethink how we think of God's providence. Our prayers do make things happen because that's what God has called us to do and design prayer to be. That insight alone should bring us to our knees, continually praying and being reminded that our prayers are not for nothing. Lastly, how do we trust in his providence? We seek him first. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, starting from verse 25, which was today's gospel reading. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Providence is built from the word provide, and in Latin you can break it up into two words, or two parts. So pro, meaning forward, and vide, meaning to see. So to see forward. But in other words, what we all know provide to mean is to supply what is needed or to give sustenance or support. So in terms of God's providence, like we just read in Matthew, God knows exactly all the things that we need. God's providence is the act of purposefully providing for or sustaining and governing the world and our lives. We will never be satisfied or content in life until we believe that every situation in life is part of the perfect plan of God. To live above your circumstances, your trials, and having joy in any situations is seeking him first and choosing to trust God's providence and purpose for your life. I will end with going back to Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13, where Paul writes the following: not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Here we see that Paul not only trusting in God, providing for his needs, but that Paul doesn't just sit back and do nothing. He continues to do the work he needs to do and that he was called to do, with the understanding that God provides for him and that his plans are perfect. Until we truly learn that God is sovereign and ordering everything for his own holy purposes and the ultimate good of those who love him, we can't help but be discontent. That's because we will find out that we can't control everything because it's out of our control, and that everything is already under control, however, by someone far greater. Thank you.